On this episode of Skeptico.
I was just so angry. And I know I can talk to spirits because I do that in my job as a medium. And I decided in my anger to talk to the spirits at his work. And basically, I told them to basically attack him. You know, hurt him, attack him, whatever. I just don't care. I could feel the energy in my body. It was different than the energy that normally comes through me when I do this type of work. It was stronger, and it was darker. And of course I did this at night and probably under a full moon or something, but it was scary. And I was by myself, and I was just, at that point I didn't care, and I could feel it. And then I felt something come up behind me, and it was just ever so slightly. And it was basically saying, like, yes, we can do that. But what will you do for us?
Stay with us for Skeptico.
Welcome to Skeptico, where we explore controversial science and spirituality with leading researchers, thinkers, and their critics. I'm your host, Alex Sakaris, and on today's episode, I have in the studio with me, actually I don't have her right now because I recorded this earlier, but mediumistic healer, channeler, communicator, life coach, Joy Lynn is joining me. Now, a quick backstory here. I originally heard about Joy through her interview on Mysterious Universe about a year ago. Publish a link in the show notes. It's a fantastic interview. It tells the story of Joy, who is this engineer type who suddenly and dramatically starts having these experiences with spirits, thinks she's going crazy, goes through all the conventional kind of medical explanations, and ultimately winds up with a Reiki healer who says, no, I'm sorry, it's not that. It's just that you're connected now and you got to deal with it. And she has done that, and done that in a pretty amazing way. Now, I know Joy because I contacted her, and I tell the story later in the interview, to do a healing for me because I was going through a health issue, and I decided that while I was at the same time doing conventional therapy, which was a disaster, by the way, I would also seek alternative treatments of various kinds, including this. And while I can't say her healing per se changed anything for me, the intuitive information that she brought through in that healing was dramatically profound. And I said, wow, you're the real deal. I have to have you on Skeptico because there's all these issues that keep coming up about what's really going on with mediumship, what's really going on with healing, what's really going on with good and evil and these other realms. And she has some incredible stories about that, by the way, very chilling, if you will. So all that stuff got wrapped into this interview. It was a long discussion. She's here in the studio, and we just talked conversationally, and I've tried to edit into something meaningful. I do have to say, at the very beginning, it does kind of jump right into the middle of this conversation we were having, and I was talking about my recent interview with Renee on astrology and the reading that we had, so I hope that isn't too confusing, but you'll get into it really quickly and understand. If you've listened to Skeptico at all, you'll understand what we're talking about. Here's my interview with Joy Lynn.
I mean, I'll just lay my cards on the table at the beginning with, maybe I shouldn't do this, but it's like, you know, when I was talking to her, I was like, I don't think you've quite sorted out how much of this is psychic, to just use a common term, versus how much of this is astrology. You know, and it's like, when we talked initially, one of the things that I thought was really cool, or I appreciate about what you did, is we were talking along and you said, okay, do you mind if I do the tarot? Like, I know this is stupid. Not stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. There's no logical connection between shuffling this deck and dividing it and looking at these pictures and saying anything about anything.
Yeah.
And you, because you're scientifically minded engineer, and that's what I think I was drawn to you by, and I think other people are drawn to you for that same reason, you're like, yeah, I get that, but it seems to work. It seems to somehow connect me or put me in a place where I seem to be able to help people. So bear with me, you know, let's do this. And I thought, yes. And when I talked to Renee, the astrologer, it was a really different vibe. It was, and I get that too, because those people are so maligned, I think, and, you know, they're under pressure, and they get from skeptical people and from society in general that they get, no, this really works. It really, really, really works. And it's like...
Well, what does it mean really works? Because I wouldn't personally use astrology for predictive qualities. That's me. I honestly, until my friend who works with me sometimes told me about evolutionary astrology, I didn't really buy into astrology because I felt it was really generic. It was like reading the horoscope and it's like, oh, you're a Gemini. And it's like this. I'm like, yeah, you know. But does that mean everyone born in May and June is going to be like this? And
I'm a Gemini, too. Well, I can tell that you're a Gemini.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
When's your birthday?
June 8th.
Oh, I'm May 29th.
Well, so, first of all, let me say this. You know, everyone puts that down. But most of us, I just think most people I've talked to have... some kind of connection to their astrological sign, where they go, you know what? They want to kind of hold it in. They don't kind of let it out. I was just talking to my wife yesterday, and she was talking about this, and she goes, you know, and she's like I said, a forensic psychologist, and she is really totally aversive to, you know, all this stuff. But at the same time, it creaks in, and she knows it's there, and she's like, I'm a Scorpio, and you know, I've always kind of identified that really does kind of fit me, you know, so. I think there's this push-pull that we all have.
I agree. I identify as a Gemini. I actually have my sun, moon, and Venus in Gemini, so I'm like a triple Gemini of sorts, and I can tell my mind just goes and goes. And I agree, there are traits, but traits and energy of those traits isn't what I would use astrology to use for predictive qualities.
I agree.
And I have been to astrologers, and... It is a true study of a language to the point, like, some astrologers that I know will talk into it. Like, okay, this is Pluto square your Chiron, blah, blah. And I will just, it will just go over my head because I'm like, so wait, what does that mean? You know, they're like, oh, this is transiting this and this is blah, 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 blah. And I have no idea. I'm like, so can you break it down for me? What exactly does that mean? It's its own language. And there are so many different ways to look at astrology and study it. Yeah, you know, I'm sure it works for people. I'm sure people, you know, grow crops by the sun and the moon and the phases of things. So I feel like that's more energy that in terms of something out there in the atmosphere affects our world, too. You know, whether it's a transit of something, and someone's just been able to study it from way back when with, you know, the telescope and correlate it of, oh, okay, this crops are growing better, or people are more emotional, and they've made some sort of study and correlation. But I never read my horoscope daily, or even when I did go see astrologers or my friends who were astrologers who gave me readings, sometimes I found it really generic and I never referred back to it.
See, but Joy, there's like about 4 hours to be pulled apart and broken down there. Because you said some really, I think, interesting, important things from a kind of skeptical perspective. First, I think it's very interesting that you said there's a correlation. Because, as I just alluded to, and we're kind of jumping right into this middle of this interview.
We're supposed to be...
be Dana Healy. We're not supposed to be doing anything
we'll just go with it. You know, in the middle of the interview, if we need to heal, we'll do the healing.
Okay. So to properly step back and introduce Joy Lynn, who's wonderfully visiting me, which it never happens, only happened twice for Skeptico episodes. Someone's sitting across from me and I can talk to him. And Joy is, well, let's see, what are you doing? What are you doing right now? You are, how would you describe yourself? An energy healer, also a psychic, tarot card reader?
I call myself a spiritual medium and an energy healer. And I've been doing it for over 10 years.
And an intuitive coach?
Apparently I am.
It says right here on the business card.
Yeah, it's hard to label myself. I still... hesitate to do it because, as you know, I've come from an engineering background, a very science-based background, and it's easy to say I'm a doctor, I'm an engineer, I'm a lawyer, something. For me, though, when people ask me, oh, what do you do for work? You see this look on my face where I'm trying to gauge if, one, they'll believe in this stuff and they'll kind of accept or look at me crazy or laugh at me or take me seriously. I'm not even sure. And so I go, I do a lot of things. That's usually how I introduce myself. They're like, oh, like what? And I usually go, oh, you know, I do healing. I help people. I kind of say it that way. And they go, oh, okay, are you a psychologist? Sometimes, yes. And then eventually I'll say, I'm a medium. And I usually refer to myself more as a medium than a psychic because there is a slight difference.
Well, hasn't it become easier to talk about yourself as a medium? I mean, we have TV shows like Long Island Medium, and we have other. It's in the public awareness, and I think psychic is still associated with a lot of kind of shammery and the whole, yeah, you know, palm thing, and a lot of it, which is really, if you see a palm out there, you know it's probably some kind of gypsy scam thing. I mean, there's a lot of those are. You know?
It's sad. It's sad that it's come to that type of, I don't know, money hungry, ego based.
Oh, but there's a long history. It's not like it's come to that. I mean, there's a super long history.
It is, and it's just, it's sad because I think a lot of those people really have gifts. They really do have, everyone's psychic
right,
to one ability or another. But what drives them to do the work, yeah, unfortunately, yeah, it is a long history of that.
See, that sad thing. We're gonna have to revisit that.
We're gonna make notes on what we need to do, what we need to talk about.
Sad, because I don't think we can say sad and just leave it at that, you know?
Okay, I'm saddened by it. I'm saddened by it, too.
But here's where I wanted to go with that. I'm going to pick back up on your background because I think it's interesting and it comes through. Like, you keep saying this engineering thing. And from talking to you, you know, anyone who will see your picture sees that you're Asian. You grew up in San Francisco, right?
I did.
And kind of from what you described when I talked to you before, kind of a lot of the typical Asian drive to succeed, you know, you don't come out to your parents and say, you know, I think psychic is kind of more my job description. And so you went down the path of succeeding, doing this stuff, doing good in school, becoming an engineer, becoming successful.
My parents still don't know exactly what I'm doing here today. I told them I'm doing an interview and they're like, a job interview? Oh, you're interviewing for an IT company. You're going back into IT. I'm like, no, I'm going on a radio podcast. And they're like, oh, for what? And I'm like telling them, and they're like, oh, okay. Like, they couldn't quite get it.
That's great.
Yeah, so.
That's great. It just fills all the stereotypes we think of with the tiger mom and the whole thing.
Yeah. My mom, yeah, definitely. Like, the things that I brought onto their house, like, I brought some pendulums and stuff, and my mom's like, what are you doing with this? What are you? You're spending so much money on these things. What are you doing? I'm like,
I mean, did they have any connection when you were growing up to kind of that spirituality? Because, well, there's the whole Chinese
Buddhism. I was raised Buddhist.
There's Buddhism and there's the Taoism and there's all that kind of stuff. And a lot of times what I understand, and I could be completely wrong on this because I don't know, I just heard this, but a lot of times the Buddhism in China is a way of kind of being more politically correct when what they're really practicing are some more Taoist kind of magical kind of practices that are deemed as being, oh my God, that's so, you know.
Yeah, people always, I mean, man creates names and frameworks. But I was raised Buddhist, and Buddhism believes in reincarnation and karma and spirits, of course, spirits of past loved ones and ancestors. So I am, and they were comfortable with the idea of karma, reincarnation, spirits. So that was there.
Just get a good job.
Yeah. Just get a good job and do well, get grades, and you'll come back as a good person versus a beetle. So yeah, and eat your rice. Yeah, that was me growing up. But like, my sister and my mom, I mean, we would talk about spirits. When my grandfather passed, in the Chinese culture, it's said, if your relative and your closest someone passes, you're not supposed to go to someone's Elsa's house for 49 days as part of mourning. And then there's something about, and I'm not really remembering too much of the tradition, but it's like the spirit stays around the closest family members, I think for about a week. And I know my grandfather who raised me was very close to me. I wasn't there when he passed, and I was really distraught about it. And my mom said, I don't know if she was trying to make me feel better, but I kind of believed it. She said, when the spirit leaves the body and the body sheds, the spirit is lighter and free, but the body's, the disease, the pains and illnesses will kind of pass on to those that are more immediately surrounding them, which kind of makes sense. It's heavy when someone passes. You can feel the energy, if you want to say that. It's a depressing, it's a heavy, it's sadness in hospitals and whatnot. And apparently it's like they leave their body and they leave whatever illnesses, and some of that energy gets on the people around you, and especially closest to them. And my mom said when my grandfather passed, he raised me, so I was one of the closest ones to him. And she said he made sure you weren't around to cop it. And you know, my parents who were around got sick a few days after, just colds and sore backs or, you know, pains and stuff like that. But she said that, you know, his spirit's still around and he'll visit us. And I firmly believe it. So they believe that stuff, just, I think, culturally. But when I start saying, oh, yeah, hey, I'm going to talk to, you know, so-and-so's grandpa and I'm going to talk to spirit and blah, 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 my mom kind of goes like, uh-huh. What are you doing?
You know, that's so interesting, because I think in kind of an exaggerated way, because of the cultural differences and because of the drive to succeed that, you know, especially immigrant related people feel, there's that kind of bifurcation, you know, this kind of thing that I think is a perfect exaggeration of what's going on for all of us in this culture. To live in the Western culture, to live in the materialistic world, to live where we're plugging in our iPhone and it does miracles. We have to kind of create that wall in our head that says, oh no, none of that stuff happens. And then every once in a while we bounce off and we go, yeah, that is my reality. I know that's true. So that's just funny that you came from that background where that was embraced to that extent, you know, because most people, I think, in the West, they don't even get that. They get that, like, my friend Gordon White, who does the podcast Rune Soup, he's talked about this, and I think he does a great job of explaining. If you go back just a couple generations, most of us, that stuff's there. Whether it's the evil eye, or whether it's, you know, don't do that, or, you know, that person, there was a real connection with that that now gets papered over because now there's a real taboo in a lot of circles about saying that. And then on the other side of it, there's an acceptance of it. But it's like we haven't really balanced it out to where we can...
We haven't balanced it out as society, and we haven't balanced out as individuals. I mean, children born are quite intuitive. You know, whether they express it as imaginary friends or they just know things. And you've heard the studies where they've talked about kids, you know, remembering parts of their past lives and saying things or seeing a ghost and stuff, because they're innocent and their mind's open. It's when they go into that society and society's norms and restrictions and boundaries are like, no, you're weird. You can't do that. Don't say that out loud. People are going to think you're crazy.
That's possible. But the evidence, I think, also suggests that, and this is the part where it gets really kind of weird and ties back into the materialistic biological sense, there does seem to be just kind of a developmental thing. Because there's, so right, so you're referring to reincarnation research. Probably the best has been done at University of Virginia.
Yes.
Jim Tucker, and before that, Ian Stevenson. So people listening to the show have heard all that a million times, so I'll just make that reference just so anyone who's listening new knows that there's a body of research out there, scientific research, that is highly suggestive that there's a reality to this in many different ways. But the other part of that is that this window seems to open and close for kids, like you said, between the ages of 2 and like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. But I think they go across culture And they find that that window is still there. So it's not, it doesn't seem to be as tied to like a cultural kind of thing where, you know, the kid is coming in and saying, you know, oh, my imaginary friends, and people are like, oh, no, that doesn't really happen. It seems to be almost like a biological thing. As you develop, it kind of closes down, you know?
It does. From what I understand, it is, your chakras develop at different age, going in and formulating it. And yeah, as you develop, it, pretty much what I was alluding to, you start entering society in that age and you start.
Right. But I'm just saying, I think sometimes we've got to draw we've got to be careful. Like there's the nature versus nurture thing right?
Is it
nature? Is it biological? Is it nurture? Is it society? Is it both?
I think it's both.
So if it's both, then that throws us in a whole different direction too. Because then we've got to be careful about saying, oh, you know, Western society is so bad because it takes people who used to be psychic and then they're not psychic anymore. You know, I mean, maybe there's some evidence for that. And people who spend a lot of time alone seem to be having, you know, more kind of experiences. But we haven't unraveled the nature versus nurture part of that, I think, completely.
Well, I know some of my medium friends who have kids. They still kind of encourage it in their kids because they do it for work, so they're not going to not tell their kids about it. So meeting their kids are quite intuitive and okay with it. Like, they grow up with that. They do have a stage of rebellion, though, I find, because they do feel different. Even like one of my friends has a teenage girl and she grew up, you know, talking about spirits and angels with her mom and everything. And then when she went to high school, I think she just felt different because no one quite believed like that. So she just almost rejected it a bit. And then when she quote unquote,
that's why we have Hogwarts.
But also when you don't kind of get what you want, you know, spirit's supposed to help you. You pray to your angels or whatever you want to call it. And if you don't get what you want, you get a little pissed off. And you can be like, you know, God has forsaken me, or spirit's forsaken me, or you've lied to me, whatever. So there's rebellion in that, I find, at least from the experiences of these kids that, you know, grew up with this in the Western culture.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, because it also gets into the whole heredity thing, you know, and is there some kind of either genetic or epigenetic or morphic field? Is there some kind of energy that's being passed down? But you know what? I want to leave that because we could talk about that forever. I want to get back to your story.
We can, you know, do a couple episodes. I'll just come back and visit. We can just make a list.
Hey, man, that's awesome. You can swing back. You're coming back from New York.
I'm coming back.
Come back.
April, I'll be like, hey. I'll probably be back in September. I'll be like, hey, how are you doing?
Well, we will do it. So, but let's get back to your story then, because it's easy a lot of times for all of us in our story to create this beautiful patchwork quilt, you know, that looks like it was designed to be this way. And I do that. We all do that. Well, we tell our story. But it isn't easy, right? I can't imagine it was easy for you to transition from, you know, and then you moved to Australia. And that was part of this kind of getting away, I mean, in a break. I mean, tell us, that's an interesting story. I mean, because not a lot of people have followed your path.
It is still a hard story to adjust to. Like, I, being here with you, going to do these workshops now that I'm doing in New York, and putting myself out there to my friends on Facebook, that's been hard for me because
Still, because
everyone I grew up with, everyone in college, everyone I work with has no idea about this part of my life. And I don't think a lot of them are open to it, or if they are, they've never really expressed it to me.
So let me just interject so we don't totally lose people. When you say this part of your life, and if I leave the first part of the interview in, they'll get a sense of that. But you are this intuitive healer, energy healer, coach, psychic, medium kind of person in Australia, in Sydney, Australia, and 20 times a week, at least, people call you up and say, help me in one way or another, which is important. You're a people helper. I mean, that's got to be what drives you. But they pay you money and you give them advice or guidance or healing or something like that. So that's what you do, you know. And then I think that's interesting to juxtapose that with your friends who don't really know what you do. And you've been reluctant, for all the reasons that people, I think, can relate to come out to that. Because it's hard. It's hard, isn't it? Because I'm sitting across from you and you present, you know, as my wife would say, kind of a psychological term. You present as, you know, totally normal. You know,
I'd like to try.
Totally normal. You know, if you told me you were going to an IT job after this, you know, I'd be like, yeah, I buy that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I can very well get up and do a PowerPoint presentation on, I don't know, a manufacturing process. And it's interesting because my friends that know me as a medium and healer in Sydney have no idea my IT background. And sometimes I'll kind of geek out over this math problem and they'll be like, What are you doing that for? I've gotten a couple different reactions in saying I'm a medium from strangers and friends. I've actually had one friend who knew me as an engineer, and then when I told her I was a medium, she started crying. And I was like, "What? Why?" And she said,
"Like you've lost your way kind of thing?"
No, actually, she said, "Oh my God, you're going to know everything about me." And she didn't want me to know something. She was embarrassed. And I was like, whoa, you know, and she was almost scared. Like, you're going to read me and know me and you're going to know all my secrets. I'm like, no, I wouldn't do that. And that's a real invasion of privacy. And yeah, no. And she got really scared of it. Like, oh my God, we can't be friends. And you know all the stuff about me. I was like, no, I don't. So that's one reaction. Another reaction, I get is a lot of skeptical people, like, really? What is that, you know? Or I get really enthusiastic people, like, oh,
read me,
is my grandma around? Wait, what's going on here? And I'm like, whoa, all those reactions, I'm like, let's just all take a step back here, let's just, and you know, people are curious, and I want to encourage them to be open-minded to this, because I do feel everyone has intuition or psychic ability, or, you know, a spiritual part of themselves that they might not be aware of or not know how to develop. And part of what I'm doing now, and that's the business card you have there, is Evolutionary You. I do healing work through Healing Joy, but Evolutionary You is the program I'm developing that's teaching people online, you know, where I'm connecting them personally to develop spiritually. Oh, hello.
Hey, out. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you pick up right there?
Yeah, no, I'm doing online courses with small groups, people, 6 to 8 people, and developing them personally and spiritually to help them connect with their intuition. Because everyone has an intuitive ability up to some point, but knowing how to use it, control it, and manifest it, and understanding how to work with their own guides or their own ability, however you want to call it, is what I try to teach. I like that more than healings and readings, to be honest. And some of the students I have are more talented than some of the professional mediums and psychics I see out there. They just needed a foundation. And I don't impose my foundation on them, but I encourage them to explore their own. So that's what I'm doing in New York, through these workshops, and that's what I hope to be doing. Actually, I've had some requests to come to California and San Diego to do it. And to, you know.
You already do it in Sydney, you were telling me. Right?
Yeah, I do it in Sydney. I've been doing them face to face in Sydney, but I've been doing them virtually now with a trial in New York. And so doing that, online, teaching people online in small groups, I wanted to make sure that the exercises and working with the energies could translate virtually versus in person, because feeling the energies and feeling the energies kind of virtually, you know, how do you tune into someone? But energy is energy, and just training and teaching people that method.
People come to you for different reasons. Some people are coming to you for spiritual development. Some people are coming to you to get ahead in their career, which isn't directly tied to spiritual development, right? So we kind of have two different, it seems like, paths that we're all going down all the time. One is we're just trying to make it through this life and make good decisions that seem to make our life more comfortable and more better. And you are not averse to helping people do that, right? If somebody comes to you and says, hey, I'm trying to get ahead in my job. I'm trying to get ahead in my career. But if somebody else comes and says, you know what is most important to me is spiritual development, and I don't really care about one or the other. I mean, there are two different aspects to this.
Yes and no, they're one and the same, because getting ahead in their career could help them learn and experience what they need to learn to grow spiritually.
Yeah, or it could totally screw up their spiritual development because it gets them upset. So, I mean, you can say that all the time about anything.
It is about, but it's where they need to be. Whatever it is they need to experience in getting what they want. We are living in a human experience. We are trying to, quote, survive, get ahead, and trying to live in this reality and sometimes escape to another realm or our true self or our soul self and having that balance. But it's the experience the soul wants to have. And if the soul or the ego says, you know, I want to get ahead, I want to be rich, blah, 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 how can you help me in my career? It's one of the human survival. But during that course of that journey to whatever, make money, to find love, the lessons the soul learns will be what it needs to develop spiritually. Spiritual development is one of the spirit, one that evolves, that takes experiences learned in this life and transcends it or remembers it and adds it to the actual spirit, the actual essence of who you are that will be carried through different lifetimes. So in helping one,
You know where I always go when people go down that path? As I go, okay, well, what about evil? Mm-hmm. What about people who do really bad things? Mm-hmm. You know, first, before we go into that, tell me that story that you told me. I love that story. I've used this story several
which
times. I'll
story?
Have to remind you
yeah,
the story.
Story. Oh, that story. That story I told you without you recording it last time, didn't I? Think that was...
Oh, now it's going to be live. You can do with what you want. You can soften it up a little bit. But that's the story.
Okay, I really...
Because all this flowery bullshit about how, oh, well, you know, our spirit is growing and all that. No, it's not always growing. It's sometimes retrograding a little bit.
We're human. We're human. And we're...
I don't buy that. I don't buy that. We're human. We have free will.
And
we
make
bad choices.
I know.
And bad choices are something to be avoided. They're not something to... Well, tell the story. Tell the story.
Well, okay. Well, bad choice. Okay. I see. I would call them experiences. Because I think...
Tell the story.
Okay. All right. You have to tell me. Okay. I really hope my ex isn't listening. All right. I went through a really horrible breakup where the person I was dating cheated on me. And I caught them cheating on me. And it was very traumatic for me. And I was very, very angry. And I went to kind of a dark place of depression and just a lot of hate and anger in my life. And somebody that works with as much energy and spirit that I do and channels that energy, I think that can get a little bit dangerous at times. And it was a dark place in my life, and I was hating him. I was absolutely hating him. And he... Anyway, where he worked was haunted, basically, or had spirits around. He knew it. Everyone in town kind of knew it in that particular building. And one night, I was just so angry. And I know I can talk to spirits because I do that in my job as a medium. And I decided, in my anger, to talk to the spirits at his work. And I'm a little sheepish in saying this now. And basically, in a not nice way, I told them to basically attack him. I was so angry. I basically was like, you know, hurt him, attack him, whatever. I just don't care. And I could feel the energy in my body. It was different than the energy that normally comes through me when I do this type of work. It was stronger, and it was darker. And of course I did this at night and probably under a full moon or something, but it was scary. And I was by myself, and I was just, at that point, I didn't care. And I could feel it. I could see it. I could connect with that, the energy there, the spirits there. And I was like, here's his name, you know, here's his address, go get him type of thing. And then I felt something come up behind me, and it was just ever so slightly. And it was basically saying, like, yes, yes, we can do that. But then it said, but what will you do for us? And I kind of froze there because it was cold. It was very cold, and it was like whispering in my ear, and it was like it was negotiating. And I had to stop. I literally was like, I dropped everything. I was like, just kidding. Okay, let's just take that back now. Let's just keep them safe. Let's keep everyone safe. Because I knew it could get a hold of me, and I could let it. And I've seen people like this, actually. I've seen clients like this where my guides won't even work with them because they're too far gone. I mean, we have control of our bodies. You're not really possessed. I mean, you are, and you're not, in a sense that you have attachments in this kind of sense. And when we channel trance, the spirits just get close enough to our energy and our aura for us to feel them and talk through us. But this type of channeling, so to speak, or attachment is something different because you have control of your body. So you can tell the spirit and the boundaries to, you know, leave or come or whatever. You really do. You shouldn't be afraid. You do have control of your body. But if you give up control of your body, that's a different story.
See, this is where I think shut up and calculate gets really dangerous.
Yeah.
Because shut up and calculate tells us, if it works, do it.
Yeah.
If I'm getting the result that I think I want or I need. But the flip side of that is, you know, you just, I mean, that is just bombshell. But we have to factor that in. I love to get that out there because we always have to factor that in. And we now have to offer some kind of explanation, some kind of topology for what the extended realm looks like that incorporates that into it. And that's what I hate when we just gloss over it and say, well, we're all evolving and eventually we'll get to the same place. You know what? I'd like to avoid going down that dark demonic alley for a few lifetimes. I think I should avoid doing that. I think I will be happier if I do that. Is that a choice that I can constructively make? Or is it, hey, whatever your path is, you know, that's it. I don't know.
It is choice. It is free will. I do agree. There are energies out there, but we don't know what
we don't
know.
Well, then can we quit talking about it like it's all an experience?
It is an experience.
Yeah, but I want to avoid that experience.
But it's free choice to have that experience or not.
But doesn't it seem like some people are not exercising their free choice or their free will and are getting into situations that they don't necessarily want to get into because they have, from a very practical sense, they've developed a set of beliefs that have led them to a particular...
It is. So what I teach... And what might be different to some other spiritual development courses there is, I do talk about this stuff. I do talk about boundaries and grounding and protection and clearing and, you know, the dangers of it. It's not all rainbows, butterflies, and fluffiness. For me, at least in my experience, it hasn't been. And people get overwhelmed and scared. And a lot of people don't know what they're doing. And they open up and they go on, you know, retreats or journeys or whatever, and they open up. What they're opening up to can get them into a lot of trouble, and I've seen that. I've been called for house clearings, essentially removal of entities, you know, things that aren't nice, things that...
So what does that tell you about what is going on? Let me switch to the big picture question. What is going on, the best you can describe it?
In terms of what?
What is the nature... structure, hierarchy, what's the topology of that extended consciousness realm? I mean, this is the big question. Like you said, you know, and you kind of chuckled, like UFO, alien communication. Hey, go down that path. There seems to be a reality to that. Go down psychedelics. There seems to be a reality to that where people are reaching this realm. Then go down the super spiritual path or the non-dual path, and they're going to say, avoid all that. Go past that whole, go all the way around the block, ignore all of it, and just go to, there's a consciousness beyond that that doesn't deal with any of that. Is that the topology? Is that the map? Is that what it is?
There's so much we don't know. We only are shown, and like what I was trying to say in the beginning was, it depends on the framework and model you're comfortable with. I mean, I know some people that are comfortable with aliens and UFOs and otherworldly people. I'm not going to say that's the vibration I'm at, but have I experienced that type of connection when I tap into certain things? Yeah. I have people, star people, so to speak, outwardly people. Yeah. Do I resonate it and use it as my framework? No.
Well, when you say use it as your framework, let me make sure I understand what you mean. What do you mean by that?
Framework?
Is there a reality? I think what people struggle with is there a reality to that?
It could be for them. And if that's what they connect to.
How about, yeah, I hate that answer. It could be for them. Well, we could say that about anything.
There's so much we don't know. There's so much we don't know. And for me...
But see, that's pretty straightforward, okay? So there's intelligent beings on other planets that occupy this extended consciousness realm or can access this extended consciousness realm. Yes? No?
I believe so. I believe there's layers. Different layers. People go into the shamanic layer. There's the alien star people layer. There's probably a fairy realm layer or witchcraft. Right. There's whatever there is. It's just what you vibrate with in terms of your energy. When I talk about framework, it's what you resonate with. So I talk in more spirituality and guides and spiritual guides in that layer. But have I been able to kind of access things in other realms? Yes. Do I talk in that language? Do I pray to it or do I do rituals by it? No, because that's not my framework. But I don't discourage other people from it if that's their way to access it. Now, there are tricky little things in each world or framework and how they best work with it. And it is dangerous. It is. You don't know what you don't know. And you're going to go up and be like, hey, let's do this and let's do this ritual and, I don't know, do this and connect to this and... You don't know what you're getting into.
Okay, so when you're using that term framework, I just want to make sure I understand, because you kind of mix in the other thing there. Like, and I think I'm getting it, and it makes sense, in that if you have this big consciousness sphere out there that is unlimited, unfathomable, and we really can't understand from our human intelligence, and you're trying to tap into it to create better things for your life and for other people's lives, then you're saying you found a particular way to shut up and calculate into that, and that's what you kind of focus on, and you don't exclude that there might be other ways, but to what extent so what are the limits and boundaries of that framework? I mean, how do you feel about that framework? How have you learned that framework? What is that framework?
I learn it personally for me through experience and what I've seen in my own scientific method way, where I don't just buy into it, but if things have happened and it's been fairly consistent, I'm like, okay, I think that's real. I'm not imagining this. and that shapes my framework and it adjusts. And
so you have a spirit guide, right?
Me, yes.
Okay, so a lot of people claim this, right? So we'll just kind of add that to another claim. So you have a spirit guide, and maybe this spirit guide is kind of helping you formulate that framework and saying, hey, kind of go in this direction, try this, don't try this kind of thing. Is that true or
not? That's how I've learned and felt, and the way that I've learned about protection and grounding and clearing, because I've gotten in trouble. I've definitely gotten in trouble with things I don't ever really want to experience again. But then it's like, I've been guided and shown different things, or when I channel things, it's like, oh, wow, okay, didn't think that was possible or interesting, but it makes sense when I say it to other people, or they'll be like, oh yeah, I read that somewhere, but I've never read it somewhere, but that's what I was seeing.
But haven't you run across people that I have, that have channeled and learned stuff, and it's pretty wacko, or it doesn't seem to kind of fit?
Yeah, and if it doesn't resonate with me,
But can we kind of objectively say it's just not, it's not good. It's like, and that's why I like science, you know, and you're a science person too. And I come back to science and say, you know, that's not good science.
So I think literally we have an electric vibration, whether that's the color or sound that can be translated. And as we open up, our vibration gets higher. We feel lighter. And things that are heavier. So if I'm at a certain vibration, drugs don't appeal to me. Right? Or that party thing won't appeal to me. Right? It just feels dirty or icky or something for me. Right? But if I'm at a low vibration and I'm depressed, right? Everything will just feel, I'll feel heavy. And you know, people say like attracts like. So, and people will be like, wow, you're really down. You look down or you look, you know, I'll be depressing to be around.
No, I think that's good. And I think that I've kind of maybe hammered that story again, but I'll return to, I guess, another theme that always comes up for me.
Okay.
And that's that, you know, when you talk about the evil that we talked about in the spirits, and I really appreciate you sharing that story. I think it's important because I think that gets, you know, glossed over in a way that maybe we hammered that out. The flip side of that is the moral hierarchy on the higher side. So God, you know, to really reduce it down to a simple term, which just throws everyone for a loop. And I know on this show, when I mention it, people are like, oh, and then when you get into the parapsychology community where we spend a lot of time, it's like, they cannot handle that at all. To me, purely from a scientific, philosophical, rational basis, it's all over the place. If there is a hierarchy, if we can identify this dark, heavy kind of thing, and we can identify this light, love kind of thing, and then we can go and take the medium work that you do and others have done, the near-death experience work, and they come back and consistently say, hey, there's a direction, man, and it's heading up, you know, then, again, that doesn't fit with the sphere that you've drawn there. I'm sorry, it doesn't. It fits more like a pyramid. And, you know, I mean, you could draw a pyramid inside of the sphere thing, but everyone always draws the circle and says, well, it's all about experience and there's nothing good or bad. So I don't know. I'm not trying to lay some big trip on somebody or say that I have any kind of ability to do right or do wrong. But can we at least establish there is good, is bad?
Well, that's what, and you can have an experience of good or bad. Like, it's free will. That's why I was like, you can choose evil. Yeah, I could have chosen that voice. I think that would have been a bad thing, but I could have chosen it. That was my choice.
So shouldn't we always try and choose good?
People might not want that in that moment.
But shouldn't we always try and choose good?
I think we should.
See, I think we should too.
But that's
problematic for folks when you say that, is that, you know, I think that's what we're trying to do. And not with any big heavy judgment or not with coming down and whacking people with Bibles or Satan or scaring me out of that. But it does seem to me that we can kind of lose sight of that sometime with some of our New Ages stuff. We're trying to do the right thing, which the problem is, it's we have a hard time doing it.
Yeah. Well, there are consequences. They will pay their own consequences. That's where karma and stuff comes in. But yeah, if everyone, we should try to do the good thing or the right thing. But as you can see in the newspaper and the headlines, not everyone does. And people get hurt.
Well, because the alternative to this, and I always wind up in this kind of loving like debates, if you will. But, you know, there's some people in the magic community and the occult community that really find an attraction to the do what thou wilt kind of thing, right? So I always point to Aleister Crowley because he's so despicable and he's easy to kind of put in that category. But there is a lot of do what thou wilt thing, is that if I'm following my true desires, there can be nothing really wrong with that. And to me, that's okay as a philosophical position. It just seems to me to be inconsistent with the data we're talking about here. It seems to be directly conflicting with the data that says, no, you can't just do what thou wilt. There's a number of decisions that you have to make. And at every point, it's do the right thing, do the right thing, do the right thing.
Well, cause and effect. You can do what you want, but you will have to pay kind of the consequences for it. That's where, I guess, my belief of karma comes in. And just the basic law of cause and effect. That's why people are like, oh, you know, don't do this or it'll come back to you type of thing, you know, three times worse or whatever, right? So I still do believe in free will and choice. Can they make good choices? Yes. And I hope they do. Can they make bad choices or go towards darker, heavier evil? Yeah. Will there be consequences? Yeah. Whether that's in this lifetime or another. And again, my Buddhist belief or whatnot, yeah.
So again, if we take it big picture, people are seeking healing. We get that. And they're in a number of different ways. But what is really being healed in that same sense that we're talking about of we all have this path, we all have decisions, but then the healer comes along and does what? Like helps boost us along the path or?
So I believe there's the energy body that overlays your physical body, and there's layers within that, whether it's mental, emotional, spiritual, as well as the physical. And the healer helps your, just like if you go see a doctor, helps facilitate that healing in those different layers. So if it's to move on in your life, or you're feeling stuck emotionally or mentally or physically, it's, you know, unblocking those energies so you can be more effective in you, your energy in your own body to make decisions, to see more clearly, to feel more grounded, to not be as heavy.
So, you know, let me ask like the dumb question, like, why do we need healing? I mean, why isn't God just healing us? God, and people, I'm not sticking a religious God in there. I'm just using that as a shortcut.
I think some people pray and use that. And yeah, you don't need a healer. Some people just need...
But some people pray and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And some people do everything possible and it doesn't work. And some people do nothing and it works.
Yeah. It's but maybe they do nothing, but maybe there's, I don't know, their guides around or something else around that helps them. But like, I know I facilitate and I usually get people that come to me for healings a lot of times as a last resort where, you know, doctors haven't helped them, you know, or counselors haven't helped them. And they just need, they're almost desperate, really. And they're, that's when they're open and they're like, you know what? Sure. I'm going to try something. I'll be open to it.
So what do you think you're doing in that process? In that process of healing, what are you as an energy healer doing?
I'm a channel. So for me, I'm allowing spirit to work through me or their guides to work through me to help them.
Why does spirit need you?
Because some people, I think, might not feel them, like next to them, the spirits or whatever. And because I'm a channel, it's almost more directive. It's like somebody standing next to you and feeling that. But no, yeah, spirit doesn't need me. Like, we could go into meditation and I'm not there. And they'll do some healing and I'll feel lighter. But I have a higher belief in that.
So you told us a little bit about your trip to New York. So folks, again, back to the very beginning, you know, Joe was nice enough to stop by here because her parents live in Southern California. And she's on her way to New York next week. And I think I kind of cut you off before when you were talking about this conference that you're doing, not a conference, but more
workshop.
Of a workshop that you're doing. So how did that come about and what are you trying to do for people?
That came about because I've been teaching spiritual development in Sydney live, face-to-face with people and doing my work there. And since...
And when you say spiritual development, it's basically all the stuff we've been talking about for the last 2 hours.
Pretty much. How to access their own intuition, work with their own guides or framework, learning about energy and healing, as well as reading and intuition, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, working with energy and spirit. So I've been teaching that, and more I was asking or getting clients overseas, particularly in the U.S., seeing if I taught, you know, in the U.S., because I currently live in Sydney, Australia, you know, I only travel here once or twice a year. So I decided to make a new curriculum that was virtual online. So that's evolutionaryyou.com is where you can go and check it out. And that's, I have the courses there in audio files. However, I do live courses with small groups of people, 6 to 8 people, where after they listen to the audio files, I teach them the practical foundations and exercises and help them develop individually. So
now, let me just, that's evolutionary Y-O-U, or actually it's evolutionary with a Y. And then OU.
Yes.
Okay. I'll have a link in the show notes just in case somebody wants to check it out.
I didn't want to put two Y's in it.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Those domain names are always hard. But I think you made a good choice. Well, evolutionary you.
Because I feel that's the evolution of you. It's the evolution as human beings. I mean, can you imagine in the future we're developing AI and doing all these things amazingly, but what about within ourselves? I mean, if we all have abilities and we could all develop them and like tap into our intuition and power, and if we all suddenly like woke up type of thing and became that consciousness, if we all could actually evolve spiritually and personally, it's a very different world, right? We're developing in pockets right now. Yes, there is something going on. People are awakening, quote unquote, and, you know, taking classes and stuff. So people are searching for answers to explain the unexplainable, to go beyond this realm, right? So as we evolve, you know, that's what I want to do and help. So anyway, I've been doing these small group sessions. They're about 6 to 8 people, and there's a group in New York I've been doing it with. And, basically, they convinced me to go out in New York and do a live session. So I've been working with these people for 6 months, and they are amazing. If I did a before-after shot of who they were and their abilities, they're truly amazing.
Tell folks, because I think when last time we talked, and I never said this at the beginning, but I called you, Joy, to do a healing.
Yes.
Because I had heard you on Mysterious Universe, which was about a year ago, and you did an awesome interview on that. And I just kind of stuck in the back of my mind that, hey, if I was going to try, along with conventional medicine, which I did, which was a total disaster, but if I was going to try that, I would also at the same time try complementary energy healing. So I called you, and I have to say, folks, I should have said this at the beginning. Maybe I'll cut this part at the beginning. Hey, the reason Joy Lynn is here today is because she was amazing. And I've done these things a bunch of times, and I tell folks, I'm never mean to anybody, but I say, you know, that just didn't work for me. For whatever reason, I accept that. But I don't know if the healing part of it worked, but the intuitive part was just incredible. Just incredible. And I've told the story several times that, you know, it was like you kind of got in my head and said some things that, like, only I know. I've never expressed to anyone else. So that was pretty cool. But in the process of us doing that initial consultation and us talking, which we talked for a long time, you did tell me some pretty amazing stories about what has happened between you and some of your students. So I'm sure people would be interested in hearing about that.
Yeah, I wish we could call one of them. they're funny. They're great. Everyone has psychic and intuitive abilities. Some just have it stronger than others, and some are, you know, mediums and some are not. But they all were psychic to some extent, and they've been developing for the last 6 months. And
what's a good story from one of them that really jumps out at you?
I'm trying to think of,
maybe where they helped a family member.
So we were doing one exercise and where I was working on their clairvoyance, okay? And I had a client, Sydney, and it was a bit of a nutty situation, and I had to go to their house. And I said, oh, and I finished doing the clearing and on the client, and I gave them the name of the client and the location, and I said, I want you guys to tune into this. We'll talk about it in class the next day, right? And so I went in and I asked what they got. And the way the location of my client was set up, it looked like a hotel, but it was an apartment complex. But the image I kept getting was like this 1920s brothel thing. And looking at the history, I think it used to be a casino type of venue there.
No, the image you got?
The image I got intuitively was
before you went.
Well, when I stepped in there.
Oh, okay.
But then doing research on it and asking around, that place used to be a casino type of event, which obviously had some illicit activities. Well, one of my students as soon as I said that, she goes, oh my gosh, I kept getting like really this dirty sex vibe. And she described like the, you know, lingerie and everything. And I was like, yeah. And she was just so happy about it, you know. She was really excited about it. So, I was really impressed with their abilities. But yeah, they were really amazed, just working with energy. At one point, you know, we were all online and I could see them across my screen, and I had them work with pendulums in their home, and I could see them walking back and forth, and all of a sudden you would hear, oh my God, it's moving. Oh my God, what's this? Oh my God. And it's interesting. And I would test them and, you know, help them tune in, and consistently they would all get very, very precise readings or information that I would check with and ask, you know, professional readers, and they were right on par with them. And they're just amazing people. So I'm going to New York to see them, and they helped me arrange the venue to do two workshops there in New York, April 1st and 2nd. One, I'm going to be doing grounding, clearing, protection. So learning about your energy and the energy of your environment, how to protect yourself, how to clear yourself. That deals a little more with healing, but they'll actually be able to practice it with each other, like how to block other energies from other people and whatnot. The second one, April 2nd, will be about your learning about your intuition through tarot. So it's not really a tarot course, because you can just, you know, read the book about the cards and whatnot, but accessing your intuition and using tarot as more of a symbology to see what to get and then practice your more psychic ability and intuition on that. So that's the second workshop I'm doing in New York. But yeah, no, I'll be doing more workshops. I think I've had requests in Chicago and San Diego. So Alex, you and I might be doing something together. So
we'll see. I'm not much of a joiner when it comes to workshops.
We'll see. Or we could do a healing now.
Well, we might do that. So we might wrap up this interview and then do a healing. And then I will report back to listeners how it went. But in the meantime, we've talked for a long time. I hope I can edit this into something that is halfway coherent. But I like this format. And I've gone more and more conversational and more casual, because what it's really all about is people connecting with you. And if they connect with you, then everything else flows from that. Whether they need your services or your online courses, or whether they never want to see or hear or talk to you again, they will at least have the opportunity to make that decision. And I think that's what it's all about. So awesome. Thanks for coming to my house and doing this.
Oh, so good seeing you in person. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Joy Lynn for joining me at Tan Skeptico. The one question I tee up on this interview is, what do you make of the evil spirits that Joy was talking to do her bidding? Are they out there? Do we have to worry about them? Or can we just do what thou wilt? I know I've hammered on that question a lot, but it does seem to be a big one. Of course, the place to dialogue on that is at the Skeptico Forum or through the Skeptico website at skeptiko.com. And while you're there, you can find all the previous shows, about 350 of them. They're all available for free. No subscription, no download, no paywall, no advertising, no anything. Just take them, use them as you will. Hope you find value in them. Hope you connect with me and with the show. And hope you stay with me, because I have some more great interviews coming up. That's it for this time. Take care. Bye for now.